Mexican synarchism was a fascist ideology, a Mexican fascist ideology and fascist party entitled the National Synarchist Union. They got their start in the 1930s and never really grew to much prominence, but had their heyday in the 30s and 40s. Time to time, you'll hear someone proclaiming themselves to be a synarchist, or there's a online presence of synarchists, but that's it. It's not in reality anymore. There is no active political formation and organization like they had in the 30s and 40s. But it is an ideal that can quickly be revitalized in Mexico. But with that said, let's get a little bit into their manifesto, their 16 points, and a little bit of their ethics of a synarchist, how a synarchist is supposed to carry themselves, and what are their ethics that they are supposed to be made of. I'd like to thank YouTube user Emil for this translation I am using, and also, outside of this translation, another translation of virtually everything spoken about in this video, or used in this video, can be found in H.R. Morgan's book, Fascism, Integralism, and the Corporative Society, the Codex Fascismo, parts 4, 5, and 6. So with that said, let's dive into who and what a synarchist is. The etymology of synarchism comes from the Greek syn, with, meaning with integration, and arch, meaning order, structure, harmony, and balance. Okay, to the manifesto of the synarchists. Faced with the recent troubles agitating the Mexican nation, there is an absolute necessity of an organization composed of true patriots, an organization which works towards the restoration of the fundamental rights of each citizen, whose goal is the salvation of the fatherland. Faced with the utopians who dream with a lawless society without rulers, the synarchist movements stand in opposition to these utopians and instead opts for a society with a legitimate authority emanating from the free democratic will of the people, which guarantees social order in which all citizens may find happiness. However, it will not seek individual happiness but collective happiness by making sure everyone can achieve their desires. Against all human suffering and social wrongs, synarchism seeks to study a way of suppressing these problems in society and will work for it. No subject with social indifference will be of indifference to it. The common good will always be its pursuit and will constantly work to achieve it. Synarchism is a way of living, feeling, and acting against the problems facing the common interests of the nation. It is a spiritual attitude which is generous. It is the will to always help and contribute whenever it is needed. So they were heavily into the common good, obviously, is what they're stressing for the whole introductory period of their manifesto here. Pushing a strong message of, you know, what benefits us all benefits us individually. The synarchist wishes nothing for himself. He or she is always willing to help in any activity which promotes the common good, whether it be using financial resources or the use of skills to put an end to everything which constitutes a social problem. Synarchism is a doctrine which promotes unification and love, and so it opposes any ideology built on hate and destruction. Synarchism proclaims a love for the Mexican fatherland and opposes all ideologies and systems which promote the elimination of national borders. Synarchism will always be a steadfast defender of justice and will persecute anyone who brings human misery with them. Synarchists believe that there can be no thing as happiness in an environment where there is no freedom, and they will always fight until the Mexican homeland has complete freedom and self-reliance. And now just think, if you had people like this actually in power in Mexico, how different the situation between America and Mexico would be right now. You know, having people in power that didn't actually promote fleeing from your land, but instead staying there and building it up and making it something good in itself. The Synarchist Committee publishes this manifesto to unite all Mexicans who are willing to work for a better nation and give up their selfishness to accomplish this goal. The problems which affect our nation won't be solved by whining, but instead using a well-coordinated national effort. The Synarxist movement has also adopted three words which shall accompany in its quest for national glory as their own motto: homeland, justice, and freedom. And that was from June 1937. Okay, let's get into the 16 points of Synarxism. Just as with every other fascist organization that's been around and that we've gone over on this channel, the Synarxists also had a point system which would inform people of the motivation and the direction of the party. So these are the 16 points of the Synarxists. Number one, we consider criminal and cowardly the defeatism of those who believe the resurgence of the homeland is impossible or expect to find salvation in foreign countries. We Synarxists proclaim that the homeland will be when we defeat our cowardice and commit to being true citizens by exercising our rights and accomplishing our obligations. So this is, once again, a very common theme amongst fascist organizations. The homeland isn't created through something material, but something born within yourself. Number two, we have faith in destiny of Mexico, and our efforts are directed towards the strengthening of the homeland and for the Mexican people to be an active part in our movement which shall save the Mexican homeland. Number three, we demand the true union of the Mexican family, and we also demand the subordination of the interest of every Mexican to that of the nation. Number four, we condemn the tendency, whatever it be, liberal, communist, etc., which pretends to mix all nations into one universal republic. We will always be true Mexican nationalists, and we shall always defend the independence of Mexico. Of course, you know, a mandatory pillar of fascism is the sense of nationalism, the rejection of globalism, the rejection of deracinating peoples, cultures, nations, traditions. Number five, we despise the anti-patriotic tendencies to classify and divide Mexicans in left and right, and revolutionaries and reactionaries. In the mind of the Synarxist, there are only two classes, Mexicans and non-Mexicans. Yet another common theme, getting rid of these multiple party systems which only divide citizenry and leaves them able to be conquered much easier by people seeking to take advantage of their division. Number six, we reject any symbol alien to ours, whether it be a national socialist swastika or a communist red star. Mexico has its own national symbols, and anyone who refuses to defend them is a traitor. So, which is important for every fascist movement, no matter how big or small they may be, it's to use your own national symbols. We see this especially in America today. You have advocates of nationalism using non-American images and trying to advocate some form of nationalism with these foreign symbols, which, as the Synarxists realize, is a bit of an oxymoron in itself. Number seven, we support private property. However, we also demand the existence of an adequate conditions for the workers in said property. Faced with the communist phrase of all workers, we oppose it with our own, all owners. So instead of being all workers as a slogan, we're all owners. We all own our own destiny. And the Synarxist ideology was to kind of create a society where you could own your own destiny, have the ability or the opportunity to own your own destiny. Number eight, we rebel against the social injustice in which few men live in luxurious homes while many men live in poorly made houses. We don't consider property to be the problem, but the problem is the abuse of private property by those who own it, while the majority lack the means to live a decent life. Number nine, we fight for Mexico to have an abundant production of goods, and we demand the equitable distribution of produce goods, as well as absolute respect for the product of the worker and guarantees for justly accumulated capital, which must be distributed according to the needs and demands of the Mexican people. Number 10. We condemn class struggle as it destabilizes the national economy and the Mexican homeland. We demand the union of capital with labor so that, in frank collaboration and within a broad social justice, They perform their creative work for the good of Mexico. Number 11. We reject the exploitation of any social class by another, both capital and labor. Today driven by materialism without greatness, we will give them an ideal, the improvement of the Mexican community and the strengthening of our country. Number 12. We fight for a Mexican nation which is free to make its own decisions. We consider complete freedom to be the only condition in which happiness can manifest itself, and we oppose any tyrannical authority. 13. We demand the independence of Mexico from any financial or political forces. However, to achieve this, we must first make national effort of the Mexican people towards the achievement of this goal. So you can't cut the noose of global capitalism or military imperialism if you can't get your own people unified first. Number 14, we condemn any violation against the natural freedoms of each man. We are steadfast defenders of freedom. However, we oppose anarchism, as it only brings chaos and disorders with it, which contradicts the synarchist principle of harmony with a legitimate, democratically elected authority. So the democracy of the synarchists, or at least their version of democracy, what they proposed was syndical in nature, having syndicates, guilds essentially, but these guilds and syndicates were not autonomous. They were a part of the greater state, but there was more self-management allowed, and that the democratic process could definitely be used within these more local areas and be more beneficial. But at the same token, you have a media that is no longer in private interests' hands, but a media and education system put forth by the state, so they feel they'll have a more well-informed citizen. So instead of having just numerous quote-unquote representatives, like in liberal democracies, who truly don't even know their base, so how could they represent any of the desires of their base? Instead, they'll have people through merit that are in the positions of education, of science, of technology, of agriculture, etc., learned people in these positions. And directions forward, ways forward, would be put forth by the social community, and whatever was decided upon, the task of achieving it, would go to the people in the higher up positions in charge of science, technology, education, agriculture, economy, etc. And essentially the leader's role would be to make sure everything works within harmony, the different syndicates, guilds, and the direction of the society. And I think as far as the guidelines or the rule system, let's call it, that this democracy would exist under, this oversight, as they say it, the synarchist democracy is an integral and profoundly humanist. It seeks to preserve the sense of identity, social justice and freedom. It is communitarian, social and mystical. It is also patriotic and seeks to build a real homeland. A homeland within a world of nations, united in brotherhood. Not one that is a vassal or submits to the will of another one. A society with solidarity, freedom, brotherhood, identity, and a national spirit. So it's under this context that this democracy can exist underneath the synarchist ideology. 15. We despise the non-interventionist state, which only serves to defend individual egoism. We also reject the tyranny of any dictatorial government which kills any personal activity, enslaves free will, and absorbs individual activities. And lastly, number 16, we want Mexico to have a fair, strong, and respectable government which is conscious that its only purpose is to ensure the well-being of the Mexican people. Oh, now think, that's a revolutionary statement right there. Is essentially what all people want, a fair, strong government that represents the will of the people and its purpose is ensuring for the benefit and the advancement of the society. Seems like such a simple thing. Seems like we as mankind would have reached that conclusion on our own without needing reactionary and revolutionary activities. All right, now that we have their principles, we know their points, we got a little bit of their manifesto, we'll end with the ethics of a synarchist. This is what makes up the idealistically passionate revolutionary synarchist. The synarchist is a fighter, but he is also mystical, half monk, half warrior, dare I say, half cultured, half thug. The synarchist makes his own story with his efforts, and he also discovers the benefits and advantages of working in a collective. The synarchist renews himself and the society around him. The synarchist knows that if he wants to make a difference in history, he must be different in his way of thinking compared with his peers, as the synarchist man and woman will be builders and architects of a new society which is built upon synarchist values. These are... Now, depending on the translation you go off of, I'm going to go off of a YouTube user's Emil's translation that I was sent. But in H.R. Morgan's Fascism, Integralism, and the Corporative Society, I'll contrast what they both say. So first of these values is the mystique of struggle, as Emil puts it, and as Morgan puts it, the mystical fight. Secondly, critical realists or realistic critic. Third, solidarity and dynamic. Two, supportive and dynamic. Four, disciplined, hardworking, and free. Two, disciplined, studious, and free. And lastly, five, communitarian. Two, community, H.R. Morgan's community. So you could find a slightly different translation of everything presented in this video in H.R. Morgan's book. Despite the differences here and there in translation, the overall message is the same. So we'll stick with Emil's translation and continue on. So number one, the mystique of struggle, part of the values of the synarchist man. And you can say all these are values of fascistic men in general. The synarchist is a man or woman who is faithfully attached to their ideals and beliefs and is certain that synarchism can and will save the Mexican homeland through a coordinated national effort. The synarchist, in the deepest sense of the word, is an individual who is always willing to fight to defeat a socially unjust, decadent, and oppressive society. He or she will also develop an unfailing love for the works of the movement. The synarchist has faith in the glorious destiny of Mexico and loves freedom more than life itself. He also loves action, which builds and makes a society prosper. However, he or she never asks for anything in return, instead only asks and works for the common good of the Mexican people. He is not afraid of death or danger. The synarchist will do whatever is required of him without expecting a reward, as he knows his struggle is that of the Mexican nation and people. He always speaks clearly and treats his comrades like brothers. He is an enemy of anything which prevents the new social order and fights for a world where there is no oppression. Anyone who doesn't possess this quality is a person who doesn't know what is the goal of his life. And thus, he or she won't be able to become a synarchist. God always chooses prophets so that he may inspire the action and creation. So can be said of the synarchist order. Number two, a critical realist. The synarchist will always have reality as his point of reference. He won't falsify it, nor will he distort it, as the truth will always be what makes the synarchist act. His action will start through the observation and thought of reality, and finally, when the synarchist finally achieves the first two steps, he will act upon his thoughts and goals. So the direction built around realism and pragmatism, and this is also very common in fascism, as it is a metaphysical concept, metaphysical philosophical base, but whose ends are met through pragmatism. Number three, solidarity and dynamic. The synarchist can be described as a patriot or nationalist. However, it goes beyond that label. The synarchist feels he is a part of his own people and is the warrior of his future. He isn't motivated by colors or songs. He's motivated by the love of his people. He has conscience of the enslavement of his nation, knows its history, successes and failures. He knows that human beings need certain conditions in order to live. That is what he fights for. He doesn't stop at small talk. The ones who talk but don't act are traitors to the movement. 4. Disciplined, hardworking, and free. Discipline is the habit and conduct necessary towards the realization of a certain goal. We synarchists develop our spirit within our own homeland. As warriors, we fight our inner struggle against mediocrity, greed, and sectarianism. The synarchist assumes personal responsibility as well as the discipline of a soldier, which our movement demands from its members, as this is one of the key elements to the victory in our struggle. Discipline is also coordination, efficiency, achievement, and knowledge. For this reason, it is important for the synarchist to have a hunger for knowledge. Personal and collective will is invincible, and the base of this will is freedom. The decision to take part in this movement is up to the individual. Taking part in the movement is accepting a discipline which will make us new men and women who will be wiser and better. And once again, a universal theme amongst fascists is the improvement of self and society. And lastly, 5, communitarian. Society is a human collective built by economic, historical, and judicial relations. Community is a group of human beings united by effective bonds. To achieve its goals, society must have psychological development, social participation, and fraternity. The communitarian spirit makes members discover their capabilities. They help each other and develop an effective actions in society. Community is transcendence between the autonomy of the masses and the egoism of the individual. It is strength, knowledge. Community is to have a story and destiny which allows the existence of a personal and collective identity. Community is a school of values. It is the model of the new society. So that is the general values of the synarchist. And we've gone through their manifesto and their 16 points. So unfortunately, synarchism never was able to grow into a national movement. And today, mainly existing in name only and online and little corners of the internet. But like with all fascist organizations, we saw the common themes in their manifesto and their values and in their points of nationality, embracing nationhood, combining both collective and individual to work to mutually benefit each other, and a common goal towards striving towards, once again, a better self and society, the individual and the community, and a deep down desire to do so, a passion in creating something better, something more than soulless nihilistic materialism. So that was the Mexican synarchist, yet another example in the diverse and universal world of fascism. Once again, thank you to YouTube user Emil for the translation, and most of everything discussed here can be found in another translation in H.R. Morgan's book, his great book, Fascism, Integralism, and the Corporative Society, the Codex Fascismos, parts 4, 5, and 6, which is a must-read for anyone interested in the ideology and practicality of fascism.